The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 244. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, Emilio? This is me. How you doing, by the way?
Yo, man, you said hi to yourself, motherfucker.
How's it going, guys? By the way, don't forget to buy Excellence 3, because just in case you don't know, I work on comics, and I've done it for over 20 years. Excuse me.
Proofing. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What do you do?
Adam Vale.
Are you on the internet? Is that you on the internet?
And joining us once again, Mr. Brian Manjoma.
I just found out that some 13-year-old kid won $3 million playing Fortnite.
Damn, 16.
You're 16. In the wrong business.
It doesn't matter how old he is.
But his other people, your people's won $1 million. Got your brick kids up there. They won $1 million each.
He's a testicle, and he won $3 million. This is like the darkest timelines, man.
Who's think about it, but it's not his fault. It's just the gaming industry willing to put that type of money. That's it.
Well, that kid better save his money now. What are you doing?
Yo, man, you talking to your cat?
Yeah, he's being silly.
Anyway, before we start, and also, I'm going to wait for some people to get here, but we literally have four questions for the whole episode. So
nice.
What?
So unless you guys ask us anything, we're cutting out early.
Yeah, we're having a 30-minute show. We don't have bread or nothing.
We always said that. It's like, yo, this show is dictated by you guys. You know what I'm saying? But I do want to give a quick shout out to my former boss, Chris Radke, who was with me and Manny for the Iron Maiden show, which was a lot of fun. And you two got along very well because he used to work in comics. You work in comics.
I had no idea that he worked in comics. He literally worked at Marvel at the same time around the same time I was interning there, which was kind of fun. So we were kind of sharing some Marvel. Marvel stories from when we were
talking
there.
Shit about the
gossip.
Editors.
That's what they do.
Yeah, we're talking about shit about editors. But
Bunyan Jimmy. I remember Bunyan Jimmy.
Yeah. Also, we went. We had to go to Brooklyn, but it was all right. Where we lived.
it was fine. I mean, it's the first time I've ever been to the Barclays Center. To be honest. Here. It was nice.
I liked it. It was smaller than MSG.
It's small
on it, but it's good. It's much, yeah, you know, smaller. So mm-hmm. that was a lot of fun. And
they played the hits, man.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah,
you can't say that. There's some bands that refuse to play their old shit.
No. This tour was for the old stuff. Even though they snuck in a couple new ones in there,
they stuck a song or two from the previous from the last album.
Yeah, from the latest album. Yeah, it's like, yo, man, that's not old. That's 2017, man.
Did they have an opening act?
Yeah, they did. It was called The Raven Age. They were pretty good.
Yeah, The Raven Age. Yeah,
they were pretty good.
Any local bands? Because sometimes
that was the only one.
Really, that was a British band. They're like, we're Raven Age.
We're playing with Mate, and we are.
There you go. I'm Maiden. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Did you like my hair?
Are you ready for screaming heavy metal?
Are you ready for screaming heavy metal?
All right, man. Anyway, let's ask. If you guys want to ask us some questions, video game questions, ask them. Otherwise, we're gonna be out in half an hour.
You can also ask us about the Iron Maiden show, because theoretically it was a show based on a video game.
Yeah, but by the way, Manny's not lying about that. This tour was to promote their fucking video game. I am not making this up.
They have an iPhone game which has all the versions of Eddie from all their different albums in this one game. So yeah.
So you have this amazing band promoting this stupid game. It's hilarious, but I don't care. I got to hear Iron Maiden. So whatever.
Iron Maiden.
It's Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
All right, man, let's go on here. The first up here is Mr. Serge C. Sergio Curiel, man. I don't know if you guys, you can't see it too well, but over here, it's a drawing he did. He didn't do it for me, but he gave it to me. It's Padme and R2. Really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Me and Manny met him at the E3s. Our first E3.
He's old school STFU and play, man.
Yeah. If my fucking camera wasn't backwards, you'd be able to read it. Now it's like up. Was it up? Fuck the shut. I don't know. I don't know how to read that. Up, fuck the shut. Yeah.
dot coms.
Or it should be com dot. I don't know. I'm being stupid now. Anyway, first question, Manny. This one's for you.
What?
Excuse me. Really? Well, we could all answer, I guess. Would E-Man be happy if Konami released a Metal Gear Solid Maker game? Metal Gear VR was great fun, in my opinion, and it would be interesting to see what other players created with the ability to design their own base field jungle layout along with traps, obstacles, and tricky enemy placements, and maybe with graphics options like NES Metal Gear graphics to MGS5. So, yeah, Manny, what would you say about Maker?
That's what I always thought that Metal Gear 5 was going to be, that your base that you're building is essentially Outer Heaven, and it is Outer Heaven what you're building, but people can go through the base, but you really don't have, you only can go on the outside of the base, you know, to do things. You can't go in the base, you can't go 100 levels in, like the way they say the game was. Would I be happy about a Metal Gear Maker? I don't know, because one thing I like the idea of making games, but at the same time, I also see them as a distraction from my normal work. We actually spoke about this, while we were at the Iron Maiden show with everybody. It's like, Tony's buddy is a big Minecraft fan. He loves creating things inside of it, and he's like, "Yo, man, you should totally do that." I'm like, "Dude, I don't have the time to do this shit. There's a reason why I don't get involved in creative sort of games, because it just takes me away from my livelihood. Because I know I'll be there for hours and hours and hours trying to make this thing work." So,
yeah, for me, no, I don't care about these maker games. I have absolutely no interest in, like, "Hey, I'm going to build my own game." It's like, no, you make the game for me and I'll play it. I'm not doing that shit, you know? So that's my take on it. What about the rest of you guys? Would you like a Metal Gear Maker game?
I just rather play one. I'm not into those type of games.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Yeah, again, I would love to get involved with that stuff, but at the same time, I know myself, and I know all things would go by the wayside, and I need to work.
Gotta make that money, man.
Exactly.
All right. The second question is along the same lines. What games, you know, from any franchise would you like to see get a maker title? The example he gives is a Dark Souls maker.
I know Brett would love that.
Yeah, he would.
Brett, yeah.
Yeah, this is a question for Brett, because he's Mr. Maker.
Yeah, this is
a Mario Kart.
No, Brett needs like a Fallout maker.
Yeah, he does. That's what, even though Fallout 4 was kind of a Fallout maker, but yeah, like a full on maker.
Full on, like make the world, you know? Yeah.
Adam, you said you want a Mario Kart
maker? Mario Kart maker?
I think that'd be cool to set up, make tracks and stuff like that. That'd be fun.
Did you ever play Mod Nation Racers?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did not. But I did play it.
Because it's had dinosaurs in it. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't kill the dinosaurs. It's just, I don't like killing dinosaurs. Like, people don't like killing puppies. I don't like killing dinosaurs.
I'll kill them, man. They're monsters.
They're not monsters.
They're monsters to me. If they want to eat me, they're a monster.
They don't want to eat you. That's the thing.
Yeah, they do.
You
know, I'm delicious.
The movie industry. The movie industry just promoting that shit.
Like Jaws, right? They fucking sharks and shit. yeah. Okay. I'm guessing we're not fans of maker games in this podcast without Brett, obviously. Like, yo, man, give me a game. I'm not trying to make it.
I mean, it's fun playing other people's interpretations of things like Mario Maker, where people make these crazy ass levels and stuff, and they're pretty fun to play, but. It never comes close to what the real game is, or what the there's no one's gonna make a better Metal Gear Solid game than Kojima did.
This is true.
Or no one's ever gonna make a better Dark Souls game than Miyazaki. So it's like, what's the point? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, that's why I hate. That's why I kind of didn't like Little Big Planet. It's like they put all this effort into the sort of the mechanics of creating levels, where they kind of half-assed the campaign. So it's like it like they just relied on the community to be better at making a game that they were, and that's what kind of scares me about Dreams. It's like some like to a certain extent the novelty of. Wow, they made a Dark Souls. I mean, they made a Dead Space looking type of game, but it's like that's just a really shiny piece of turd sometimes because there could be an absence of an actual game. It's just sort of a presentation of a game, but not an actual game that you can play.
I mean, the thing is that I think it's somewhat of its own genre of things. You know, where it's a sort of, it's like, you know, the idea where it's like a game that you can, it's an idea of creating your own play, which is also an integral part of play, you know, kind of creating your own, you know, things. But I feel like those sorts of ideas tend to work a lot better with younger audiences. You know, that's why games like Minecraft work, you know, with people, you know, who have that, you know, children and, you know, certain people that have the sort of disposable time to kind of dream and do those things.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's its own genre. I don't know if it's, I could still call it a game, but at the same time, I understand where you're coming from as well.
Yeah, it is a game, but it's just, it's not a curated experience. It's more of a tool, mm-hmm. you know? And definitely like I played like a game like Terraria that was pretty fun that you get to create your own world. But at the end of the days, I'm like Tony, I prefer the video game makers to create an experience for me and not necessarily me creating the experience for myself, because like Manny said, sometimes you just don't have time to do all that stuff. That shit takes a lot. Minecraft, like to make some of those worlds that people make that are pretty cool, mm-hmm. it takes a long ass time. It takes a lot of dedication, and a lot of us just don't have that time.
You know, or patience. I don't have the patience for it. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I probably
don't have the patience for that anymore either.
Yeah, I think that's why the games like that are really for, you know, younger people that have that kind of disposable time, you know. But then again, you know, like Manny was saying, my boss, he's older than us and he spent all this time doing this shit, you know.
Yeah, but he found, but I think that was also part of it is also it ended up being his own creative outlet. Too,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
I think, and didn't he say he was doing it on his phone and stuff? So,
well, a friend of his was doing it on the phone. But.
Yeah, but you know, exactly. You know, again, those kind of games definitely have. But actually, I'm gonna be an asshole and I put an asterisk next to game. But those type of experiences have their place. They're just not for us, you know.
I wouldn't say it wasn't for me if I did have that time and if I wasn't working, you know, 90% of the time, you know. You know, I would probably get involved, but I also, I've had ideas where I wanted to put them together on those things. It's just the part to implement them was just always took a long time. And I think that's the biggest hurdle for me, having the time to sit down and actually do it. And then also planning and doing all the different things that I want to do with it. Cause I don't want to go in there, like make a level where it's like, you just drop in and then you fall on the ground and then that's it. I want it to be something interesting, something I would want to play.
Not like my Little Big Planet level.
Yeah, well,
because it gives
you like 1,000 things, you know.
Yeah, because basically you had to make a level to get the trophy, right? So what I did was I made like a straight path with like a finish goal. So I made a little car for the little guy. I made it function, and then I just ran him through, you know. The car took a little while to put together. I was like, Tony, what the fuck are you doing? Just make him run to the end. You don't have to put him in a car, you know? I made him hold on and shit. But yeah, even in Fallout, like those Fallout 4, the missions were like, oh, you got to build this. Like, okay, you just get a square house. You're done. Fuck that, you know?
Oh, yo, man, I hated the Metal Gear 5 part where you have to construct the base. That shit was, I mean, to me, it was the worst part.
I don't even remember how that went.
Yeah, they kind of force you to create a base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They should.
At the same time, I'm like, this is cool, but I don't want to create the base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't force that create stuff on some people, man. Allow them, but don't force it. You know what I'm saying? All right, moving on. G Mega Force. So his first question is, what are some games that are considered black sheep or weaker entries in a series that you think are excellent. I think Super Mario Bros. 2 is a masterpiece and the second best Mario game behind Super Mario Bros. 3, which is his favorite game of all time. I feel it gets too much flack for not being a real Mario game, but judging it on its own merits, it's an extremely solid and satisfying game. If I may be so bold, I would say it's a much better game than Super Mario World. Excuse me? Nah, son. Mm-hmm. I can't agree with that.
Sorry.
He says, I also think Castlevania Bloodlines and Castlevania for the Sharp X6800 are some of the most enjoyable entries in the Castlevania series due to some very fun level design. Oh, man. Okay, before we even answer this question, we got to break down what he said because I can't agree with this. Obviously, your entitled opinion, that's fantastic. But, dude, Super Mario 2 better than Super Mario World? Come on, son.
I mean, it's fine. I agree with the notion that Super Mario 2 is actually a pretty good game.
But come on, man.
But, I mean, Super Mario Galaxy, Super Mario Galaxy 2, Super Mario Odyssey, like, come on, man. I mean, I don't know if he's played any of these the later titles, because, I mean, he just mentioned 3 and 2, and he talked about World. Those are all, like, 90s titles.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, to me, because, you know, and this is just me talking. Like, to me, Super Mario World is, like, one of the best. Okay, you know me. I don't give games perfects, right? That's a perfect game, Super Mario World. Perfect. That gets a 10 for me. Like, that's a perfect level design. That's fantastic, you know? So, and Mario 2 was cool, but let's just be honest. That wasn't really a Mario game, you know? Mm-hmm. It was just a repurpose. Whatever. What the fuck was it, Chris?
Doki Doki.
Yeah, it was Doki Doki.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, that game's cool, but come on, it ain't a real Mario game, you know? So to answer the question, what are some games in series that are considered black sheep that we like?
Black sheep?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You take that where you want.
I don't know. I'm having trouble on this one.
I think Gears of War Judgment is considered
black sheep. That's a black
sheep. Yeah, I'm going to put me down for them because I'm always praising that one. I enjoyed that one. That one was fun. The story was great. And they introduced a lot of new elements for Horde mode and stuff. So,
you know, I had Halo ODST, and I didn't think it was bad. People railed on that game.
Excuse me?
Why? What was wrong with it?
No, there's nothing. That's a great game.
It's a great game, but people were ragging on it. Man.
I didn't know this narrative existed.
It did. Yeah, people hate that game. Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know where the hell I was, man, because that game was fucking great.
Yeah, everybody.
It was different too.
I got one. The one I always praise, even though I get shit for it. DMC Devil May Cry. I love that fucking game. I think that's the best Devil May Cry game out of all of them. You know, but everybody hates it because Dante's hair wasn't white. You know.
And he was essentially a different Dante.
But he was the same guy. He was still an asshole, you know?
He was a different guy now. Like he wasn't whoever that other character is.
He wasn't the but the thing is, different actor, but he's still the same, like, unlike, because Dante's not a likable, I never liked Dante. I don't like the other Dante either, but the controls, the world was better. I like that game, but everybody hates it. What else? What other games did you like? Brian, this is like a perfect one for you because you like a bunch of games that nobody likes.
but then it's games within the franchise that are not that great. So I'm just trying to think.
It's like liking God of War 2, you know?
But then God of War Ascension exists.
Oh.
Yes, and there's
a problem, you know?
I don't think anybody's going to stand for that game.
For some reason, people think that Metal Gear Solid 4 is the black sheep of the Metal Gear franchise. Yeah, I noticed a lot of people are saying, like, nowadays are saying that 4 is the weak point of the series.
Now, they're crazy. Really?
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, no, that game's fucking amazing. They're crazy,
right? Yeah, most of the complaints for that game was the cinematics, how long they took in the installs. But man, that's the only critique you have of the game. It's a low bar.
Yeah. Right. All right, what other black sheep games do we have? I'm pretty sure we have a bunch. We're just blanking out right now.
Well, I mean, like, here's the thing. Like I can name a bunch of games that are just one-offs that are considered not, you know, like, as popular. But that's not the question. It's like, it's a franchise of all games that already exist.
Yeah.
And there's that one low point, but it's a lot better than people think it is.
Does anybody here like Final Fantasy VIII?
That's not considered a black sheep because it sold very, very well, you know? Actually, there's another one, Final Fantasy 13. Everybody hates that game. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Gary Swaby, by the way, man.
Yeah, I didn't bother playing that game, but then again, I was already in the, I was like, eh, I'm done. The last Final Fantasy game that I actually played was Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, you were done after that.
I was done.
It's like that game was presented to us like a way that it wasn't for most of the game.
Yeah, it was a false thing, you know? Like, here's the thing about Final Fantasy XIII, even though I really like it, I don't discount the criticisms people throw at it. You know what I'm like? Okay, like, yeah, that I totally agree with you on that. But I still like the game, you know?
I mean, the fighting mechanics...
Yeah, the combat was crazy.
The combat was pretty good, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And the story was pretty decent.
Yeah, I like that stuff. It took... You were just funneled for 25 hours until you got to the open world, you know?
It was literally like just a bunch of corridors for 20 hours.
When you know why that came about, because they were like, hey, listen, Call of Duty's popular for doing that. We want to be more popular in America. We're going to do that.
Well, that's why they went action RPG on those things. And
yeah. Well, that's not an action RPG, but like the funneling like that Call of Duty does, they try to do it too, you know? Mm-hmm. Instead of giving you freedom, they just funneled you through.
Well, that's always the, you know, it's funny because they, you know, initially forgot about what makes a sort of Final Fantasy game. There's always, yes, there's a bit of that funneling that sort of happens. It's always like the first city that gives you that funnel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and then later on, the game kind of opens up and allows you to explore and do different things.
Well,
it's been like that for every single one of them.
For that game, it was like...
Well, except for that one.
That was 30 hours until you got...
That was 30 hours until they let the reins off, right?
And yeah, not only that, but they... Like, you get into the world, and you're way underpowered to be in that freaking world.
Yeah.
So they because they also went in with the idea of like, oh, hey, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna do this, and we're also going to... you know, we're gonna funnel them, and we're also gonna, try to force replay.
Yeah.
And then like on a different topic, but still the same thing, it's also an example of the Japanese not understanding why Americans like Japanese games. We don't like Japanese games because they're trying to be like American games. We like them because they're Japanese games, you know?
Yeah. It definitely is a fundamental misunderstanding, at least at that time.
Yes.
As to why you know, Westerners would like a game that is uniquely Japanese. It's because it's uniquely Japanese and weird, you know. The thought process in Japan is a lot different than it is here in the States. And when they try to do Western games, they always sort of fail at it. You know, we saw in the PlayStation 3 generation, we saw so many of those games trying to be Western games. You know, also them hiring Japanese studios, hiring Western studios to make essentially Western Western versions of their titles, like Bionic Commando.
You know, and I keep forgetting the name of that one game that was like Japanese Gears of War, with that guy had a girl and stuff.
Yeah, the one from Namco, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, hey, they love Gears of War. They're like guys with big guns. All right, let's do that, but let's put an anime girl in it. So everybody over here likes it too.
What's the name of that fucking game, man?
Quantum Theory.
Quantum Theory. There you go. It's like what?
And that game was janky as hell as even.
That was pretty bad.
It was terrible.
Look at this cover. It's like he looks like Kenshiro and Marcus Fenix mixed in one.
They're trying to have their cake and eat it at the same time. It's like, no, just do a game that you do best. Who gives a like? I understand. Like, yes, obviously, there's some games that Westerners will never get. Most of those dating sim games, people are, you know, novels. You know, those motion
visual
comics,
novels. Yeah, visual novels
that they have. Yeah. A lot of that is a little bit of a hard sell in it. But if you give somebody an action game that's, you know, that has a little bit of that weirdity to it, even Bayonetta has that weirdness to it.
Yeah. I remember that documentary you sent me, and I permanently have it bookmarked because I like keep watching it. How the creator of Yakuza, he's like, I can't believe it took us so long to realize that the reason Westerners like Japanese games is because they're Japanese games. Like, duh.
Yeah, duh. We all grew up in the States, at least, you know, with the Nintendo generation, we all grew up on Japanese games. Stop trying to make the games that we make.
Yeah, and look what's happening now with Japanese games. Japanese games are doing very well now because they're just doing their thing.
Because they're staying Japanese. They're staying, Like, they're not, you know, they're not, you know, granted, yes, look at what the West is doing. Apply the same sort of knowledge, but you don't need to make, we don't need to have our, we don't need to have the Japanese version of Marcus Fenix.
Yeah, like, basically, like, the things you want to take from the West are, like, you know, the user-friendliness, like, that, stop making things so opaque, and and I'm glad they're doing this now. It's like, hey, you don't have to make a new engine for every fucking game. Just use one, you know?
Smart development techniques, you know, like, where you don't need, every single title doesn't need to have a new game. You just iterate and make one better.
Yeah, exactly. But don't, you know, but again, I'm glad they stopped trying to appeal to Westerners. Just make good games, and people are going to buy them.
You know, like, why, like, think about it. Like, why do Kadeo Kojima games work? They're not like a Western, they are Western sorts of, it's Western idea sides of games, but at the same time, they're uniquely Japanese twisted.
Yes.
He's not trying to make a Western game. He's making a Japanese game that has Western elements in it, where, you know, the, like, settings and stuff.
Then think about it. This generation, Yakuza's had a big, you know, success story. They didn't change those fucking games. They have Mahjong and all this other shit in there, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, also, you guys look at, they also have to understand, like, what they see as mundane, like, oh, yeah, that's just normal shit in Japan, right, is crazy and unique to us because we don't live in that world. Like, that's why a game like Okami didn't do very well in Japan, but it did a lot better here in the States because... For Japanese people, they're like, oh, yeah, we know this story. It's bullshit, whatever. It's stupid, silly fairy tales over there. We always tell all the damn time. Over here, they're like, what the fuck is this? There's like 1,000 weird demons. This this final boss has 8 heads on it.
It's awesome. All right, man. Moving on to the next question. Wow, this give me some time. I got to. My man wrote a whole, like, book.
Yo, man, he writing books?
Okay.
We need the fill.
Does he need an editor?
Yeah, right. All right. Okay. Do you like random quote unquote critical hits in video games? I've been thinking about difficulty settings and mechanical design a lot recently, mostly in terms of RPGs. And one thing that has always seemed a little odd to me was critical hits in games. I found it especially interesting when this random mechanic was implemented, but with the ability to increase its power or change of occurrence. I especially found it interesting that sometimes its likelihood can be changed by the player, but the information for doing so is hidden, such as increasing party member chances of critical hits depending on a hidden friendship stat between the characters. So I was wondering, what's your guys' take on critical hits in games? Do you find it takes away from the feeling of control or skill of the player, or do you think it adds to the game by giving an extra hope for success in an otherwise unfairly balanced matchup? I like critical hits, man.
It depends. It depends. Because, like, let's say when we play Division, right? There's different add-ons and different gear that you can get that can boost it to, like, 100%. That every shot that you – there's critical chance that leads to critical hit. And if you get over 100%, then almost every shot – and I've seen this done where a guy have a sniper rifle, and it's plenty of these videos as proof. And one shot, one kill to big bosses, boom, 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 dropping them. And that's cool, but then I would think the game's not fun at that point. Then you just break it. Because now it's like one shot, one kill, big bosses. We're not talking goons. We're talking the boss.
Yeah, to me, like, I have a problem with, because I like what I like about critical hits is, like, the random factor of it. You don't know when it's going to come, you know? So if you could, like, guarantee it, it does kind of take the fun away. Although, if you're just trying to plow through the game, that could be cool too, you know? But I see what you're saying. Like,
yeah, because you guys play more RPGs than I do. It's mainly with the Division that I've seen critical chance as something separate from critical hit. So you have to build up your
critical chance. Yeah, yeah. RPGs do the same thing.
They have that too. All right, yeah. So can you hit 100 on that? Because if you hit 100, then there's no chance.
Oh, no, you could do that. You could do that. Depending on some whatever skills you have, whatever equipment you have, you could do that. Yeah. Where you're just hitting all the time, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, there's enemies that have certain weaknesses.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you use something, a weapon or whatever, a skill that the opponent is weak to, then the critical hit arises.
Yeah, the one I could think about right now is Octopath Traveler. That whole game is built around critical hits. Like, you cannot take a good amount of damage off the enemy until you critical hit them first. Like, that's the whole gameplay is built around that, you know? So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I always liked it because, again, you don't, like, it's so cool when you're fighting and you critical hit is like, oh shit, you know. But of course, there's the flip side. It could do a critical hit on your ass. You're like, fuck.
I like like Gears of War way to do critical hits.
Oh, it's with
like,
the reloading.
Reload, yeah. You got it. You need the skill, man. If you don't get the critical hits.
Yeah, Manny and I were talking about that. Like, that's such a video gamey thing. It's like, if you reload at the right second, it'll be more powerful.
Exactly.
Hey, it's just count. You just count the seconds.
Yeah,
you just count it. You count it like, you know, 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom.
Yeah, and
so that way you don't have to look.
It's not only that, but your weapon reloads quicker.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Reload. All right. So I'm just gonna go down the line because we got to fill up time here. Manny, critical hits.
Critical hits, yeah, sure. I'm okay with them. It's a nice little bonus. I've never understood why they come in some things, but I mean, like, yeah, like some weapons increase the chances of a critical hit. I mean, to be honest, like just like in real, just like real fighting and stuff like that, you don't get a number or a little stat that shows up when you punch somebody in the face. But yeah, you get a real critical hit on a person if you catch them in the right way. So that's why I always saw it. Like, you know, granted, it's not actually showing you hitting them in a specific way, but it's like, okay, there's like a randomized element that gives you a little bit of an advantage over something.
Yep, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good mechanic. I mean, it's been around since Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Had critical hits. Like, you'd roll to see if you even hit the character or the enemy, and then you'd roll the damage, right? And if you rolled a 20, you got a critical hit on the creature. That's in second edition, so... I mean, ever since then, I've been a fan of it because you feel so good when you get that roll.
Yeah, like, man.
You know, mm-hmm. So I and D&D didn't really have any power creep. So it's like as strong as your character was, you could be like, yeah, I'm going to be dumb as rocks and just have 18-100 strength and whatever. You're still not killing guys in one hit. So that critical hit came in handy, man.
Yeah. All right. Carlos.
Yeah, I mean... It just really depends on what types of critical hits you're talking about. Sometimes they can be just randomized kind of things where you can't really predict when you're going to get those. Like, but there's sometimes like a Lost Odyssey where they had like the ring system, where if you swung, like there was like rings that filled up, and if you filled it up, the meter thing when the ring is at like the size, you can get critical hits that way. But I don't know, some of the most memorable things were like Pokemon, when you're trying to capture a Pokemon and you're like trying to get their health low, and then sometimes you get a critical hit and you kill them and you're like, God damn it. Like, so yeah, I don't really mind them. Sometimes they're pretty they're the real surprise mechanics, you know?
Yes.
it's like unlike these gambling shits. But yeah, I'm pro.
Cool. Brian.
They are okay. They have the place in gaming. I fully agree with what Carl says. Like, you do make some aspects more interesting, like the Pokemon example. Like, you're there, like, trying to capture something, and then you hit for a crit, then you kill it, or even worse, it hits on you. It's like, really? Like, how? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite fun, you know? It's definitely quite fun. It is nicer if you have the ability to control it, as like how often it does spark, because then it means that it has some layer of player input into it. But then at the same time, developers may use that to like lock away the ability to gain more criticals through like, hey, this item increases crit chance by like 25%, but it's like a rare item and drops like once every 1,000 times. So get to farming. So yeah, those things I'm not a fan of, and I'm looking directly at Warframe for that. They have a bad habit of doing that. Yeah, but yeah, I think it's all good.
All right, and Adam, you already went, so yeah. We will move on. And I want to give a shout out to Tennessee Sooner, who asked some questions so we could keep going. All right, so let's be careful how we answer this one. What's one thing that you feel has no place in video games? I have like five answers right now that I can't say. Chris, you already know, man.
I'll go. Mine's just,
go ahead.
It's just loot boxes. Just tired of it. I'm okay with microtransactions. Just give the people what they want to buy. That's it. I know it sucks on their part because like, well, we don't get all the money and we need them to keep coming back. Fuck that. If you're selling a suit and people want the suit, don't put it in a fucking loot box and say, yeah, you may get it, may not. Just let people buy the damn suit. That's it. Cut the bullshit. And then that more people would just go and buy it. If not, that's it. It's too much with the loot boxes. I'm tired of this shit.
All right, Brian, go ahead.
I have so many answers for this.
I know.
Good answers. I have joke answers. I have serious answers. Okay, first things first. I don't think that loot boxes are and microtransactions are bad. As in the concept of them, I think they are fine. It's just the implementation. Because I see them the same way that I see DLC. DLC is not a bad thing inherently, it just was implemented in a bad way. Like, we can all sit here and name some of the best DLCs ever, and like, hey, these are DLCs. And then we sit here and name off terrible DLCs, which were just terrible because they were implemented in a like a really shitty way. So I'm with Adam on that. These things are not bad, they just were implemented in a terrible way that's not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, oh gosh.
I know, man, but I'm not trying to get in trouble here.
Okay, you know what? I'll go ahead and like play it safe. Anime titties. They don't have a place in games. Because if you like them, apparently you're a weirdo now. Because that's how the world works. You know, like you like titties, you're a weirdo. I don't know. It's a really tough answer without giving the obvious answer.
And you know,
I'm not going to give the obvious answer because, you know, people's jobs are on the line here. screw it. Anime titties, I'll stick with that.
Fair enough. All right, Carlos, what's one thing that has no place in gaming?
It's a hard question for me, actually. Because, I mean, like, the gaming sphere is like, it can be whatever the hell it wants, and if it doesn't include something that I like, then it's not for me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it kind of like, I mean, you guys talk about, Tony talks about it mostly, it's like, it's capitalism. It's like, whatever sells the most is what's going to thrive, and if something that I don't like keeps thriving, that's the marketplace, and I'm not supposed to partake in it. So for me, it's whatever you want to have it, put it in the fucking game. And if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And if I don't like it, the video game industry shouldn't abide by my feelings.
Well, maybe they should, man.
Yo, man. They should abide by all my feelings, man.
Yeah, right. Feelings are important. They're more important than facts. For me, I got my answer. The government has no place in gaming, and EA is trying to make that fucking happen with this bullshit. You know, like because of them, now the government's sniffing around, like, yo, what's that? What's going on? What's going on? You know,
what's this thing they're doing?
Yeah. So yeah, the government has no place in gaming. That's my answer.
I agree with that too. Where it's like, you know, things should never, you know, these things should never get to the point where the government has to get involved. But obviously, just like anything, you know, these big old companies want to push it and push it and push it. And now, where are we? You know, if they didn't start fucking with it and start trying to abuse these ideas, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about how loot boxes. But then again, we were always talking about how certain gameplay aspects were being abusive to people. You know, taking advantage of people. Excuse me.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, I mean, those are good answers. So I was going to say, I think season passes don't have a place in gaming because it incentivizes creating incomplete games. We can split off content and charge people more money for like a complete experience.
Yeah, no, that's a good answer.
So I have a kind of an answer. Maybe it's like, I mean, I'm not saying that it shouldn't exist, but I'm saying I really don't like it. Is like crowdfunded games where the crowd does not get a market share of the game's or success, or, you know, like it's like you're giving money to people to make a game where they reap all the benefits, and I don't like that. But I'm not saying it shouldn't exist. I'm just saying it's like, if it's something that like I had control of, I'd be like, don't do that.
All right, cool. All right. And the last question, unless somebody asks us more, is what's a developer or series that you hated at first but grew to love later?
Hmm.
I don't know if I can answer this one.
Man, this is a tough one.
There's a lot. There's a lot I can do the reverse.
You've grown to hate them.
Yeah, like you. No, no. This is that you grew to love them. Mm. You hated them at first.
Hate is such a strong word.
Yeah.
Okay, just say you didn't like. If you don't like the word hate, just say you didn't like.
Yeah, I can't say. What was it? There was something. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't think of it. Like, if I didn't like you initially, I'm probably not going to like you. Yeah, you know,
I'm not going to play it.
I used to flip back and forth with EA because I enjoyed the EA Big when they did that for a while. Remember NBA Street, NFL Street? I loved them. I'm like, oh, wow, they're making these fun arcade sport games. And then they stopped making them. And then they started fucking all the other games up. So,
Yeah, I can't answer this one. Because, again, if I don't like you initially, I'm probably not going to like you, period. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to go. Go ahead.
What about FromSoft? Because I'm sure that you...
I never hated him. I never hated him, though.
Disliked.
I think I do remember you saying that the original Dark Demon Souls was...
Oh, no. 3D Dark Heroes, right?
Which one?
Yeah. 3D Dark Heroes. They made them, right?
Yeah.
Was that...
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I said, you know me, I'm a salty motherfucker, but I always said, like, with Dark Demon Souls, I'm like, this shit is not for me. You know, I basically said... I paid my dues with these kind of games when I was a kid. I don't need to play them anymore, you know? But I never, like disliked them or hated or anything, you know?
I mean, you hated that shit.
But I did like 3D Dot Game Heroes, you know? So, yeah,
you
I don't know.
Hated that game less.
Yeah, I hated it. Yo, man, I played that game and I hated it. Can't answer it. Oh, well.
Oh, man, it's just hard because it's like there are
It's a good question, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's those people that... Like once you lose their good graces, it's like they're never gonna get it back.
Yeah.
And some companies, it's like you're a shitty company for a reason. Like EA, it's like you're gonna remain shitty until you fucking don't exist. The
management changes.
Yeah, until either some drastic management shit changes or you just go under. Like for example, there's this isn't an example, but it's like. I used to fucking love Blizzard until they fucking went with Activision. Now they lost my good graces. It's like, you kill Heroes of the Storm, you're dead to me.
Isn't it? Man, they fucked it up. They fucked it up.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, you mess with my heroes?
You mess with my heroes, man. My heroes.
My heroes.
But yeah, I can't really answer for a bad studio that I disliked or hated or wasn't too fond of that I just... suddenly decided to like them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they're great now. Yeah, I can't think of anything, you know.
Yeah, because even if there is that case where a studio like proves you wrong once, you still have your arms folded.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, what are you gonna do next?
Like, you get one. Let's see how what you're doing.
Bethesda making Doom games and stuff doesn't count, right?
Well, because it's technically Bethesda. Yeah.
You didn't expect them to make a good game?
No. Yeah, because, you know, with Bethesda's main games, you're like, I don't know about these games, but they've been doing really well with Wolfenstein and Doom, you know?
The thing is that it's not Bethesda.
Yes, id, games. Yeah.
Yeah, it's id
and Wolfenstein's being made by that other studio. It's not made by Bethesda internally. They're just publishing those games.
I got one.
Uh-oh.
I kind of have one.
This motherfucker.
It's like, this is, I love the studio, and then I hated it, and then I went to liking it again.
Hated it.
Hated it. And that's fucking Capcom, man.
Oh.
Capcom was on the shit list for a fucking couple of years, man. They released, you know, Street Fighter V. They messed up that. They messed up Marvel vs. Capcom and with, was it Ultimate or 3? I don't know.
It's Infinite.
Infinite, yeah, like they messed up so many games. Resident Evil 6, you know, Devil May Cry 4,
Bionic Commando.
Yeah, they messed up royally, but these last couple of years, they're doing their little renaissance. So I think that's the closest that I have to an answer.
Yeah, see, even with Capcom, even during the darkest years, I could never forsake them because I loved them so much back in the 80s and 90s. You know,
yeah,
it still had a place in my heart.
Cherish the heart.
You know, I want to read this comment by Barry. He goes, A Bethesda.net account is required to watch this stream.
No, we are not. No.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, by the way, let's talk about that. I'm asking fucking question. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah. Bullshit? Well, did you hear the latest shit? They're saying that it was all an accident, that it was always supposed to be optional, and that this is a glitch. That that's what they, and that they're going to have a fix. Yeah, we know it's bullshit. We know it's bullshit because then in the same review, they talked about how they're doing that Slayer Club. And that this is all so they can gather information so that way you can log in and you can get skins and other kind of rewards and all this other shit and stats. But it's forced. That's the downfall. It's forced and it always requires an online. Yeah, one and two, you have to do the login, but then it's a one-off. For Doom 3, it's constant. You need to have a constant internet connection to play an offline game. It's horrible. That's why I just don't get it. I don't get what I get what they're doing, but I just don't believe that they would pull something like that, at least for the Switch. Maybe for the hand, like a PS4 and Xbox, they can get away with it because most people don't pick those things up and move around with them. But the Switch, it's very noticeable. It's
Resident Evil 7. I mean, Resident Evil 2 remake. I have to be online for that shit. That shit pissed me the hell off. I lost internet. I was playing the game. I lost internet, so you have to connect to the RE. I don't know.
They don't even give you like a 24-hour window. RE like net, instant.
RE net, yeah.
No, they said. I think I got a couple of minutes.
Shit.
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
I was like, yo, I'm playing a fucking remake of a 20-year-old fucking game. Why the hell can? And it's a single-player game. There's no fucking multiplayer at all in this shit.
So, Carlos, that's a true horror, right there.
Yeah, man.
You don't have 5 minutes to save your game.
That's why. And this was on my PlayStation 4. So many people were shitting on fucking Don Matrick and Xbox for mentioning this shit, but fucking PlayStation is doing it. Where's all that fucking smoke, man? I don't see it right now.
Here's the thing, like a little smack in the face of Capcom. This is only one of many Capcom games that have hidden DRM that no one ever talks about. We talk about years ago on this show. We talked about a certain game called Final Fight Double Impact, which is a game I also did some artwork for.
Shout out.
Yeah. And that game also has a hidden DRM feature inside of it where you cannot be disconnected from online because the game will not run.
I wonder if that's the same for Devil May Cry 5.
Isn't that the case for Dr. Mario? The new one they just released on mobile devices?
Yeah, man. Oh, no. Okay. Shit, man. Come on, let's be serious.
Oh,
crazy. There's been a bunch of games like that, or games that, like, you know, work weird. Like, the last one I had was Dragon Quest XI. Single-player game. When my internet was acting up, the game started fucking up. I'm like, it's kind of interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. And, yeah, Capcom did that notoriously last gen. They probably still do it. You know, it's like, yo, single player, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, has anybody played again? Anybody in chat? Have you played Devil May Cry offline?
Yeah,
because you know I think I'll have that as an answer.
That's your answer.
My DRM as things that don't need to exist in video games.
Okay, there you go.
Oh yeah.
Even Street Fighter V, like once I boot up, it's got to connect. It's got to do. I'm not even playing online yet. It's got to get these updates. It's got to do verifications as if like I'm importing my own shit into it. It's got to do all these checks. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, yo, it's been like 2 minutes. And then eventually it gets me in. But I'm like, why does it have to do that? Why can't I just press the button, start, go pick a fighter, kick ass, and go home? Like, bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I know Street Fighter is an online game or whatever, but still, that's bullshit. What if you want to play it offline, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's some bullshit. Fuck DRM. And then I'll ask you another question. We did kind of talk about it. What do you guys think about that kid winning all that money in fucking Fortnite, man?
Remember? Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's it. It's
that's
not
all I can
it.
Say about that.
Yeah, that's it. He played it, and it's people can bitch about, oh, you know, there's so many other people that could use this money and homeless people and there's all these organizations. Hey, it's the gaming industry. It's Epic putting in this money and other sponsorships. They're the ones. So don't hate the kid. Kid's just playing the game. That's it.
I mean, to be honest, it's like the thing is that's the sort of thing that a lot of the younger generation really wants to look into, you know? They want to see their own, you know, out there doing that stuff, yeah. You know?
if anything, as a parent, you know, but my kids aren't at that age yet, but when they will, it'll probably be a whole other thing. But I'm just thinking of kids, parents that have their preteens and teens now, probably concerned, because a lot of these kids, like you said, are looking up to these type of kids. Like, yo, if they can do it, mom, dad, I'm quitting fucking school. I'm going into the bedroom. I'm going to master this fucking game. I'm going to make some money. And what do you say to them at that point? No, it's like, well, no, you can't. But then again, you sort of can. You know what I mean? And then what if your kid comes to you and say, hey, I'm pretty good. And it's like, man, I don't know. But mom, look, on Twitch, I got, you know, 50,000 followers already. Shit, what do you do at that point? You know what I mean? What do you say? It's tough. It's a different era. Because, I mean, at one point you could say, oh, no, go outside, go play like they used to tell us back in the day. But I'm like, shit, if he's got that many followers and he's got advertisers and he's already part of the Twitch program, he could start making some money.
Yeah, no,
and that could help him long run. In the long run, but then again, this could absorb him just like anything in life. You could get really good in sports and forget about academics, and that could absorb you. And you get hurt, and you know you go back and you don't know shit because you forgot how to read. You know that shit happened.
Forgot how to read.
Yo, shit. Yo, there was this football player guy I saw on ESPN. He said he didn't go to one class in college. He got a degree. He can't do anything. So when he finished the NFL, you know, career is over. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't even become an analyst because he couldn't read big words and shit.
Damn.
So he couldn't read cue. Yeah, he couldn't read cue cards. He had to go get a speech therapist. He had to go and do all these other things just to try to fix him up, you know, so that way he can try to do something when he was doing football, because it was football, 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 football. That was
yeah. Well, and it's only yeah for football. It's only finite. I mean, what is it? They retire in their 30s, don't they?
Yeah, and hopefully you retire with you know a good amount of money in the bank. That's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is unrelated, but it's still kind of related because, you know, this is something, you know, Manny, you and I talked about the longevity of this stuff. Like, there's this basketball player, Jeremy Lin, right? He's crying about how nobody wants to hire him anymore. Why can't that happen to these, like, people, the stream people? I still believe, I could be completely wrong. I could be completely wrong, just putting it out there, but I think this shit has a shelf life. Not the streaming thing itself, but their specific careers. You know, like one person's career. You know,
yeah, that totally does have a shelf life, and it's just here's the thing, we haven't gotten to the point where we haven't seen it. You know, seen a lot of the we have seen a lot of these sorts of streamers just kind of fall. You know, and you know and we've also lived in a generation where a lot of people play the StarCraft game, and there's only a finite time that those guys have in the limelight too. When they get older, they get to a certain age, they can't perform as fast as they used to.
Yeah, so it's like, what do you do after that? You know,
there's always going to be somebody that takes that spot.
What do you do after that? Well, the thing is that you try to make sure. I mean, the smart thing to do is try to make sure you have a backup plan. But then again, you're a teenager. You're 16 years old. You ain't got no fucking plan. You're just like, I'm going to play this game until my hands bleed.
Yep. You know?
Well, save your money. If you made some money, save
it. The smartest thing, yeah. Like if you have a parent or something like that that's in charge of that shit, they are the responsible ones that say put this stuff aside, you know, so until you're ready to really, you know, spend it. You know, because you'd be set as an adult.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If you $3 million, if he saves it, he's
set for life, man.
I saw this interview with Seth Green, and he's talking about him and Macaulay Culkin, and he's like, listen, you know, we barely kind of remember that era of our lives. They're like, apparently, you know, it's like, think about it. If you think about it, there's this little person that we used to be that did all this work before we, you know, so that our older selves don't have to work as that.
Yeah, he retired at 14, Macaulay. Had over like 60 something million dollars in the bank because of all the money he made from Home Alone and royalties, and
for how many years he did it, he only really did it for 10 years.
But didn't his parents steal his money?
No. His dad tried it. Gary Coleman had that issue where they took his money, but no, he didn't have that issue. They were trying to control him, his dad, but then it's like his dad wasn't really married to his mom, so he really didn't have a lot of rights to him, and they were going back and forth in court, and then the dad just MIA, he just disappeared, you know, but he was trying to get a hold of his money, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I wonder when we're going to start getting, you know how like they have pageant moms, and they have, you know, those
gamer dads.
Dads, they're gonna be like, you gotta fucking stream this game 5 more hours.
But we see that Carlos, as people that love football, you know, we see that. We see with Neymar and his dad. and all the shit that happened with that, and how they had to leave Spain. There's a Brazilian soccer player, and he played in Spain, and his dad is his manager, and got him in all kinds of weird, shady deals, and the Spanish government were after him, and they wanted to put him in jail. They wanted to put Neymar in jail, and all this thing, and then Neymar eventually left Spain and went to play in France, and there's all the scandals, but again, it's like, hey, dad says he's looking out for you, but he's doing all these weird deals with your money.
Oh man, yeah, you know that's gonna happen. There's gonna be these parents scamming their kids and shit.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy shit. Same thing happened with Messi. Messi's dad did the same shit.
But yeah, just going back to what I was saying before, like I don't see how let's just say you're a professional streamer, you do it for like 10, 15 years, right? You're like 30, right? And you know, your skills ain't there anymore, right? Some other kids are younger than you. I don't see those as being skills you could transfer over to something else. You know what I'm saying?
No, you could. They could. You could. Because, like, let's say if this becomes a full sport, like it's some
a commentator. That I it is. That. Yeah,
that's
I
what I'm saying. You could be a commentator. Back,
but I'm talking about, like,
you could be an analyst.
Thing. Yeah.
You can switch off to another game like Ninja. Remember, Ninja was way back with Halo, you know, and he was doing all the Halo shit. And when that finished, and they were like, oh, he's done. He's washed up. And actually, fucking Fortnite came along and he's mastered that shit.
Well, he also got touched by a famous rapper.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Well, yeah, that too. See what I'm saying? But he was still playing first. He was playing and he was good at it. So the famous rapper wanted to play with him.
And what is the thing that we see that's happening to him right now? He's saying, I don't want to be known as just a streamer.
Yeah.
Things, stuff like that. It means he's getting sick of playing that game all the damn time.
Oh, yeah, he can't
stop because that's where his bread and butter is.
I forgot where I heard this from, but basically there was one day where he didn't stream. He lost 100,000 followers. Like, man, what the fuck? Shit.
But that's the life of all of these guys, man.
Yeah, they can't take
But you gotta feel like imprisoned by that type of shit.
Absolutely.
Because the thing about it is that he also didn't install himself as somebody who plays other types of games. So now he's feeling the pressure of it, you know? If he purposely worked in other things inside of his queue, other types of games inside of the queue, he'd probably have a more expanded audience instead of all just for people who are just looking for Fortnite's gaming. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember the Marco style, the one I told you about with the Division?
Yeah.
And the same thing when he was like, yo, I don't like Division 2. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling it. The whole big thing. And he lost like 100,000 followers. And he was like, I don't give a shit. He said, I don't care. If you don't want to be it, I don't care. I'm not going to do all these little bullshit. I'll tell you what's in the inventory, what's in the shops this week, and then with the up. I don't give a shit. It's like they didn't really do much. He was always pointing out the flaws and people hating him for it. And he'd be like, what? Don't you want me to be honest and tell you that, hey, they're just bullshitting? This is an old build with some new color on it, and they're just sending it back to us. But it's that frustration that comes out, you know, especially for those guys that are just playing one type of game.
Yeah, and then, you know, this extends also to, like, YouTube commentators, right? Like, if they just comment on one specific thing, that game is no longer around. People may not want to stick around to watch them talk about other shit. So then they got to figure out how to, you know, wade through the new environment, you know?
And therein lies, you know, our a friend of the show, Young. Yeah.
Yeah, he's exactly who I'm thinking about. Like, his whole deal was, go ahead, Manny. Yeah.
Yeah, his whole deal was he was the Metal Gear guy. But what happened when all the Metal Gear stuff started going away and there was no real Kojima news to talk about? He kind of had to start to expand his expand into other territories. You know, he essentially used all of that Metal Gear stuff to bring him to a different location. But if he had stayed doing Metal Gear stuff, it would have already died down. It would have died off and his channel would have just been gone. Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of that with Call of Duty guys. There's a lot of Call of Duty YouTubers that I used to follow. And man, when Black Ops 4 came out and it was all pretty much about the Battle Royale, all of them fell off because they're like, yo, I don't want to play this shit. Mm-hmm. This is not Call of Duty for me. And when they tried to just focus on the multiplayer like they did traditionally with the other ones, they would see their numbers drop because people don't want to see that. They wanted to see Battle Royale. I'm like, shit. So it's like sort of forces them. So you either do it or you don't do it. And I would see them. Some of them would go on these rants, make up videos, just start screaming about it. And then the next week they'll come back on and be like, fine, this is what you want. All right, fine, I'll play it. I'm like, you hear yourself? It's like, but you're a slave to it because you have all these people. You're making money. You're expected to make or have a certain amount of money.
What the fuck?
There's a storm. There's a bad storm. Hurricane Godilba. Right? And, and this is it. And so what do you do? You're stuck at that point because, like, all right, you only play one game, and this is what made you money and is making you money. You're getting a constant revenue from it from online. Now a new version of that game comes out, and it's whack as fuck. What do you do? You have to play it, right? That's it. You have to play it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, these guys they have to feel trapped, and that goes back to the shelf life. Like, how long can you really do that shit before you're like, I don't want to do this shit anymore?
I think the key to it all is really just essentially either evolving with the system, expanding, trying to expand the audience a little bit. Or the other idea is, it could be just fine that, and that's the only thing that you're known for. But at the same time, what you could do is just try to save all your money. You know, a lot of these guys make a lot of money in a short amount of time. So if you're smart with that money, you'd be set.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering about those middle of the road guys, the guys that actually make enough to make a living off of it. What happens when their popularity goes away? They're not going to probably have a lot of money saved up. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about those guys that are just doing okay, you know? They're living off of it, but they're not ninja. They're not those guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what about those guys? How long are they going to last before they're like, fuck, I got to do something else, you know? Yeah. Those guys ain't going to get no sponsorships. They're not going to get any, invited to be a guest or whatever. Like, they're just there, you know what I'm saying? So it's interesting, man.
They have to become talent.
They have to
do hosting jobs and those type of things, you know, at presentations and events, and hopefully that their star power is enough to grant them those type of jobs.
I mean, a good example is, one example is also Black Nerd Comedy. Like, was on the internet just as, you know, kind of a reaction sort of guy. He reacts to all kinds of nerdy stuff and tells you about him and all that stuff. But he's kind of parlayed that into hosting gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he'll host the Comic-Con online thing. He'll ask the questions and all kinds of stuff, like hosting, you know? Because he's already sort of a trusted brand already. You know, people like him and stuff like that.
He was at the E3.
I didn't see him there, but every so often I say hello to him, what's up?
Black Nerd.
It's tough. I mean, but this is fun for us because we were in the beginning of it, and we're going to see the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to see this whole thing play out. So we could say, it's like, all right, we know how it starts and we know how it ends.
Yeah, so, and it's going to be very fast turnaround too, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to see it. I mean, think of all the things in our lifetime, even technology-wise, that has disappeared. We've seen VHS pop up in our lifetime and disappear. We've seen DVD players pop up in our lifetime and disappear.
They're still around, kind of.
Yeah, but mainly the Blu-rays and stuff like that, right? That's the main focus. But we don't see them, people running out and buying them. Not everybody has one in their living room anymore. Mm-hmm. Now it's like in a console. That'll play that part if you really need to. You know, music CDs, we've seen that come in and out. That was a whole industry. There were stores dedicated to that, and that's gone. You know, we've seen bookstores that were everywhere. They just disappear. We've seen all these different forms of media and entertainment, everything just like morph around, come and go. And here we go now with gaming, whether it's GameStop disappearing or morphing into something else or physical disappearing or with streaming. Is this going to be a thing? If this is what people are doing, not doing. And we could always goof about it like 5 years later. Like, remember when people were making all this money on it? Now nobody.
You know. I don't know, man. Like, I still think streaming is going to be a thing. Like, I think, esports, I think that's not going to go anywhere. I just think the people that are participating in it, they're going to have a short shelf life, you know? That's a tongue twister, short shelf life.
I feel like it's like a poker. It's online and poker. I used to watch them, and I feel like every week when I go back to look, it's always some new guys because it's anybody off the street that could jump in and start kicking.
No, but I think okay. Here, I'm going to combine what we're both saying, Adam, right now. Okay, mm-hmm. I think esports aren't going anywhere, but I think you're right. The hype for it is going to die down eventually, for sure. I agree with that. It's still going to be there, right? But you may not be seeing it on ESPN every fucking Sunday or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, you think it'll be like the X Games, where essentially it reaches a precipice and then it just kind of levels out. And
X Games are still around, right? But
there was a Reddit page that I saw that was just talking about this, the same exact topic, and was like, "Oh, where's it going to end up?" Oh, and then I saw a lot of people saying, "Yeah, we should just have our own channel, like a gaming channel." I was like, "Oh, like G4? That shit's been done, and it failed. It just didn't work." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's still a niche audience.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
That's the thing. People don't understand. It's like MLG was on TV for the longest time. No one watched this shit. Remember, it was on it was on USA Network and a few other ones. Tried it. ESPN started getting into some of this gaming stuff. It's not there. It's there for buying it. But when it comes to people actually viewing it at home, no. And be like, oh, when I go to events, it's like, yeah, that's the niche audience. Everyone's there for the same fucking reason.
Yeah.
When you start televising it, are you telling me people are going to run home to watch the next Call of Duty tournament?
Yeah, it's interesting times, man. I guess
I also do think something can be said for seeing other, you know, kids seeing other kids doing
really
cool things. That's the whole idea of what Nickelodeon works off of, where essentially it's kids content that is supposedly created by kids or starring kids. And I think you know, this kid winning all this money, I think that means a lot to seeing somebody like them doing that sort of stuff, you know?
Remember the Wizard, Fred Savage?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, old school, man.
Mm-hmm. I fucking hate people who I fucking destroy and they fucking just stop doing shit, man.
What?
What?
Playing chess and I destroyed this kid and he just fucking left. He just let the fucking
rage quitters.
This isn't rage quit. He just let he just stopped playing and let the timer run out. So 4 minutes left.
It happens. It happens in everything.
Some people just don't like to lose, man.
I've been playing FIFA and then after two goals and the guy just starts running around with the ball and doing random shit.
I mean, but that's FIFA, man. This is chess. This is supposed to be a classic.
No. See, there you go. That's bullshit.
Ain't no class. He just let the time run out.
There you go. That's some bullshit. All right, man, we're done. we still went over an hour though. We're good. We're good. So here's the little throw down your question schedule. And here are the steps to ask us stuff for every episode. So step one, you join us on Discord. Step two, on Discord, you go to the throw down your question section. And step three, you submit your questions. You limit them to two gaming questions. We ain't talking about the boys, all right? Man, Reggie was just trying. I know Reggie wanted to ask us something about that shit. I didn't even see it. Read the comic, man.
The boys.
Yeah, read the comic instead, man. It's better. I haven't even seen the show. I'm talking shit, you know?
Yeah, no, it's good. I have the comic stuff. It's a good companion to it.
They took out a critical scene from the first issue. I'm like, oh, okay, they're not doing that, man. That was crazy. But Adam, I'll say this. Where the guy meets his boss, the female boss, that's not in the show, if you know what I'm talking about.
By the way,
There's some stuff with the boss.
If you haven't seen anything from The Boys and don't want to get spoiled, don't talk to Adam.
Yeah, Adam just stole out like three episodes.
Adam just gave out he didn't give out a synopsis. He gave out a fucking review of a whole episode.
He gave me the lines.
It doesn't matter what I said because you don't know what episode it's on.
It just gave one example.
You just gave a whole episode, man. You lines and shit. You told us the actors.
You told us who lives.
Oh, man. All right. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us your questions in the Throwdown Discord server and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez. Tell him about the comics, man.
I'll see you later, guys. And yes, don't forget to pick up the latest issue of Excellence, which number one is been sold out for months and has a second printing. Yes, is a cool book. I work on it, just in case you didn't know.
You know? I'll tell the rest
now
of the guys.
If you don't know,
now you know. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
He was just
there. He is. He was still pissed off. Adam Vail.
Have a good week, people.
And Brian Manjoma.
Yeah, what we really need less of in gaming are sad joyless whiners.
Yeah.
I don't
need me. All right, man. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Later, guys.
Deuces.